one of my narcissistic friends was teasing me that he'll give me a class on how to cry. Not even Mishanithnas Alamatan the Simple, Mamatan the Simple, already digging in, trying to figure out how to cry. I want to make 3 points tonight. One is a point on our approach to Avelis. One is a halachic point. And then the third is an inspirational point. As far as just our approach to Avelis and what we're being misabel, what we're crying about, on Tisha B'Av we do a lot of mentions, a lot of mention about what we lost. We lost a lot. And a lot of, you know, side things, like we lost a lot of wealth, a lot of Jewish wealth that was lost, a lot of lives that were lost. Obviously, we lost the Ikkar, we lost the Shechina. But additionally, we also, there's a lot of crying about the trauma that happened to Tzir, to Yerushalayim itself. The first 11 Psukim and Eicha seem to be addressing things that happened to the city, if that's a thing. Eicha Yashra Badad Ha'ir Abasiyam. Bachay Sitka Balayla. Darchay Tzir Avelis. It seems like the city itself is sitting alone, crying at night, without company, people to, by the way, the people that are being other ragged off. We're not talking about the nation, we're talking about Tzir itself. And the last 10 kinas, they're called Tzir, and we're speaking in B'loshon Neicha, second person, to Tzir. We say, you know, Kechim Eis, Shalom Kenar, Kechim Eis Adonaiach, you, Livgris Enuseich Anisanem, like we're crying for your anguish like a jackal. And hundreds of those mentions of us speaking in second person to an entity called Tzir. Now there's a stream of thought which says, this is all poetic. It's a mashal, it's a melitza. There's no entity called Tzir, and it's referring to the people that live there and the nation. Just for example, one of the most commonly used siddurim on its commentary for Nachem, it says that, you know, Nachem describes Yerushalayim as a ear, it's a shememo bzuya, it sits and its head is down. And in the commentary there, it says that Jerusalem is used as a metaphor for the Jewish experience. So the Jews experienced bizaya and avelos, shememos, and really using Yerushalayim as a poetic device to refer to the Jewish experience. So I just want to try to present and hopefully to prove that Tzir is a metzias rochni, it's a spiritual entity, it really exists, and it's a central part of our Avelos on Tisha B'Av is to cry for it, alongside it, on ourselves and for it as well. Just to put this into context, as Jews we know that time is not just a frame of reference. It's not just a way that we could refer to something and know what we're talking about. It's a metzias. Zman is a metzias, is an actual entity. And only for that reason could Zman be called Kadosh. How could something that's not an entity be called holy? But we know we have holy days, and it has an existence, and that's why there's something called Shabbos HaMalka, which we could wait for, we could run out to greet, we could be Mechavet, because time is a real metzias. It's not just a haskama, the way to refer to things. Torah HaKadosh, of course, is also a metzias. We know that if you leave Torah for one day, then it leaves you for 2 days. Torah HaKadosh, we're talking to the Torah. There's plenty of riots that Torah is a metzias as well. And along the same vein, Yerushalayim is a metzias. Tzir is a metzias. I think the clearest proof to this is that there's a medrash which we talk about, we mentioned this in one of the kinnas that start Ozdim Leisefek, that Yirmiyahu actually met her. He met a lady, and she looked like a beautiful, disheveled lady, and he didn't even know if she was a person or if she was not a person. She was, until she said, no, I'm not a person, I'm Tzir Nuchem. So yes, she exists, and Yirmiyahu actually met her. I want to bring one more proof to this, is that the Medrash on the Pasuk, Darchei Tzir Avelis, says that Amar Avuna Hakol Mevakshim Tafkidam. Everything in the world, everything, a lot of things, they seek out their purpose. Even a dog. A dog is a female dog, a halva, is Mevakeshes to be Mizdavik to Zachar. That it should be, it should appropriate and fulfill its Tafkid. Amar Avdim Adim Chayfa. Afilu Jochem Mevakshim Tafkidam. Even the roads, Shnemar Darchei Tzir Navelis. These are this is a living thing that wants to fulfill its tafkid in why it's created. This is not a poetic way of referring to the Jews are not anymore on the Darchei Tzion, so therefore they look empty. It's not a way of expressing that the roads are empty. It's a real thing that's feeling avelus. I once spoke about this dilemma of mine to Rav Shmendrin. He said, "Hush, that Tzion is a Metzias Rochnes." And he said, maybe this is Adar Tzachas, he said that even Mark Twain, when he visited Palestine, he said a lashon that Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, and it's a silent, mournful expanse. Even he understood that there's some yeshus there. Chacham once said that any dvar Torah that you give, it should be graded on three criteria. First of all, it has to be a fish. If you're getting up and take something which is obvious, then don't get up. Second of all, it has to make sense, as in the Stavar. And third of all, it has to have proofs. And he said it's multiplication. So that helps you because if everything works out, then you end up with a higher score. But if you have zero on any of those criteria, it's bustle. There's no point that you scored zero. I think this makes sense, and I think there's good proof for it. The only suffering is that this was pushed to somebody and it's not a chiddush. I think that's the most I can be said about this. So that clearly is the first shlav in avelus, is to recognize that there's such a metzias that's called tzion, and I think that the kiddush, really will get a new fresh flavor when we recognize that it's not just us crying on ourselves. There's something living, breathing that could rejoice, that could grieve. That needs that we're crying for. I want to just make a halachic point that we know part of our Tisha B'Av is that it starts by very severe and then it goes down from there after Chatzos. And that's in Shulchan Aruch and many things. I mean, the fact that we sit on a stool, on a chair, the fact that we wear tefillin, many things just get life there after Chatzos. The earliest makar that I found for this was the Arzurah and Hilchos Bris Mila brings down our Shrir Gaon that says that we should wait for to make a Bris Mila until after Mintal Mincha, Bizman Sha'imim Nachamas, because that's when we say they're Nachamas that we say after Mincha. So he says two kulas. He says, the first of all, that the Bris Mila is an element of Simcha in it, and we should wait till after Mincha. And also, he says that it's a time when we say Nacham. Sounds like before that we don't say Nacham. That meaning to say Nechamas after Mincha is mentioned in the Torah and Helkov Nadalet, that we, after we say Kinnis, we read some Yirmiyah, some Iyiv, and then we read Parakah Nadalet Nishaya, which is Nechamas, which is talking about the punishment that will happen to the guy and other Pesukim Nechamas and Yirmiyah. The Nachem is only said by Mincha. The Beis Yosef brings from the Ritva that's because earlier in the day, we were like Mesa Mutal Fana, and we were not shy to have consolation. But after Mincha, it's like the dead was already buried, and we could have Nechama, so that's why we say Nachem. So, it's clear this is all in Shulchan Aruch, and that's how we act. But I just want to make a point that there seems to be a stream long Rishonim, specifically the Rosh and the Maram, who the Maram I think was the Rosh's Rebbe, that don't seem to have this chilek at all. That the entire Tisha B'Av is just as chomer, and it doesn't get lighter at all after Chatzis. The Beis Yosef in the beginning of Tavkuf Mandalat says like this idea of saying Sukkin Nechama. He says Aveir Hibiyada. If you say Sukkin Nechama, you're not allowed to say Stam Divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av. Choshkin Divrei Nechama on Tisha B'Av, and he's referring to this minute of saying it after Chatzis and. The Beis Yosef is a brink from Chuvas Harash. That point. At the end of the top of Mandala, also there's a Chuvah Sarash that the Rishis bring down, that the way he's talking, he said the word Nashim that were Mekel, that would wash themselves off after Chatzes. And obviously it's a little bit more chumra than a minig, but the way he talks about it, that like they made a smach because it says in the Medrash that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, so we have to be gezecher. And he seems to be very like puzzled by this minig to be machalak after Chatzes. And we got Nachim, that the fact that we say by mincha, the Rosh says kol yomai tomati. I never understood why Nachim is by mincha. Like if we have to mention the yom by Shmoneh, we should say it always. Why Nachim by mincha? And that's the Ritzvah explains, because that's when the Avelis got later. And the truth is, I even found in the Kinnus there's a zecher for this opinion, which is not to be mechalak between the morning and the evening. In the Kinnus Chafhei, which is actually talking about the Crusades, it says that Ivan Chassi called on me Baker at Ar. Says that since we can't delay the make the Tainus on you know the days of Sivan when the Crusades happen, therefore it's going to be today. And Ivan Chassi called on me Baker at Ar. Sounds like there's no chilek at all in the power of the anafa of the English. Speaking of the Crusaders, I want to just give you some inspiration that can be taken from different things that happened at that time. The word crusade in English has like a little bit of a positive connotation. If you say somebody's on a crusade, it sounds like that's a man on a mission, that somebody is he's in Meister Nefesh, and it could even be used. Like for you know, very driven, you know, selfless person, but which is maybe an echo of the way society saw them at the time, that word survived in that way, but nothing, there's nothing heroic about that. Maisa, we talk about it a few times in the Kinnus, and just to say a little bit over the story, what happened. So this is the first crusade in 1096. The Jews of Mainz were behind. They were able to lock the walls of the city, and not only that, they were behind the second barrier. They were in like some bishop's palace that he had his own like protection around his palace, and they paid him for the privilege of being there. So not bad. They had two protections, and they were locked in their davening, and the first protection, the protection of the city, since there was nobody Jewish in between the first and second, somebody opened it up, everybody come in, everybody made their way, all the crusaders made their way to this bishop's palace, and there's just one wall in between them and this whole mob. And people think Shema Yisrael, and then this wild mob on who knows what kind of energy, they broke through the first wall, that last wall. And at that point, there was, they tried self-defense, there was really nowhere to run, they were locked in this area, and there was two choices, either to die al Kiddush Hashem, or to accept Christianity. And it was not even a question. Like, everybody was Meister Nefesh, and they did it in a few different ways. Some people waited passively, like let it happen, let them come to me, and then they're Meister Nefesh Be'ahava. And some people they killed themselves because this was also acting Meister Nefesh. Maybe they were worried that they wouldn't be able to withstand the Nisayim when it came to them, and they proactively killed themselves. The Beis Yosef says a story like this. He says, it was Machlekes HaPoskim, if you could do this. The Beis Yosef says in Yerideh Kuf Mem Zayin, Maisa B'Rav Eflad Sheshocha Tinek is Hari B'Shas HaShmad. He shechted a lot of children, especially the children. The children could be kidnapped. The children don't have understanding to really be Maisa Nefesh, necessarily. Could be not. So, V'Hoyo Imer Rav Eflad, there was one Rav that was with this Shechit, Rav that was a Shechit, the Kassel of a Kari Ritzeach. He didn't care. And the second Rav that was stopping them said, if I'm right and you shouldn't be shafting them, then you should die Misa Mishunah. And what happened was, soon afterwards, they caught this rab, the rab that was shafting everybody, and they took off his skin and they put sand in between his skin and his flesh. And shortly afterwards, the gzeir was bata, and the basis says, and it's according to Arafan, if you wouldn't have shafted them, maybe they wouldn't have died. Meaning this was, but anytime you kill proactively, you don't know what's going to happen. But Lameisa, the Bali Tesis could do a worm after it, and they did the Azdu of the Nafshai, where they killed themselves, they killed others, and the Maral Tzimtz in his Pirish Ta'ifa says, Yidei Noshim Machmoni Rishli Aldei, and could be referring to this. Merciful women cooked their children without Rahmanas. It was out of Rahmanas because they were worried that they would be Mavir Maldasa. And so what does that father, that mother, say to their child before they do that, before they shaft them? Are they apologizing to them? Are they, what's that last conversation? Sure, they're crying. What goes on between the two of them? So the Kinuch Chafe actually records it, tells us what they said. You can imagine there's so much to cry for. This child is never going to grow any bigger. He's never going to get married. He's never going to have his own family. And that's at the hands of his father. And it's very confusing. What's going on? And so the Kinuch says, the Jewish parent said, what their apology was, he apologized that we weren't able to raise you up for a life of Torah. That really personifies what that whole mysterious nefesh was, because they could have paid lip service and been kafir in Elkei Yisrael and been made in Avodah Zarah. But that's not like Gadal Chamatayra, and for that they were willing to be Meiser Nefesh. This could be really one of our parents. I mean, if you believe the studies, all Ashkenazi Jews, if any of us here are Ashkenazi, come from 350 people total. That's the entire pool of Ashkenazi Jewry. And good chance is that we're talking about our great grandparents here. This is a story that was recorded in the 1200s of one of the daughters of the Bali Tesis. This is the Rivaz daughter. She had a daughter named Bracha, and she was there during the First Crusade. She had four children, and she told her friends that we're not going to spare them. We're going to kill them off, and we don't want the Christians to bring them up and to kidnap them or bring them up in their religion. So, but she said that my middle kid, I don't want him to see. She had two older girls that were very, very, passionate about this, doing this mitzvah. I don't want my middle son to see what's going on, because then he's going to run away. But Lameisa, the kid saw. The kid's name was Aaron, and he started screaming, "Don't butcher me, don't," and he ran and hid. He hid under a dresser. So she killed her younger son, Yitzchak, who her father's name was the Rivas, so he was probably named after her father. And she killed the two older girls, and then she ran after this young kid and pulled him out under the dresser by his foot while he's screaming. And one of the kinis calls them Zivche Ria. This is their Eilas Ria that they're coming to greet Hashem with. And just you could see from the clarity and the confidence which they did this act. There wasn't passive. A lot also needs a great mysterious nefesh, but to have the confidence to do something so difficult and so barbaric, really, just shows the avos Hashem of these great, great yidden that we cry for on Tisha B'Av. It's not yet Tisha B'Av, so we could end off with Pesukim Nechama. We know that we shouldn't have to celebrate Tisha B'Av. We shouldn't have to experience Tisha B'Av this year, and Hashem should turn all the Tanis and so he makes us in Tzimcha.